He may be fat and bald, but he knows it's sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
1, 2, 3, My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure.
Welcome to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534. An oldie there from Outkast. It reminds me of all the Bobcat football games back in the day. Ricky Gatewood and all those guys used to play. It was a great song, and it reminds me a lot of that, so I thought I'd start off the show with that. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on your interwebs, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Also reach me at the Twitters, at IanLaird3. It says IanLaird/KGVM Sports, if you have any questions about my rambling incoherentness. Gallatin Valley Sports Show, again, is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all the big games in the NBA Finals and the U.S. Open coming up in a couple weeks. Located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus, phone number 587-2156. That is Spectators Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. Wrapping up high school season at the end of last week. So this week, I guess we'll take a look at the Lady Hawks dominance in track and field. Bozeman Hawks take AA award for best program. And softball awards are handed out, plus MSU football signs a big recruit. And I mean big, as in beefy. He's also probably a really good player, but he is a big boy. But first, let's take a look at national news. We'll start in the NBA. The NBA Finals starts tonight, in Toronto, with the Raptors taking on the Golden State Warriors. Tip-off for that game is scheduled for 7 o'clock Mountain Time. Warriors are heavy favorites going into the series, but it doesn't look like Kevin Durant will be able to play at least in the two games in Canada. I personally think the Warriors are a better team without him. They seem to move the ball better. They use Draymond Green way better without him. His role has changed. Green came out and said that the other day, that his role has really changed in their offense since Durant has been out of action. But the flow is so much better when they use Green better on the offense. They play more of an up-tempo game. When Durant is in the game, it always seems like he has to prove to everyone that he's the best. And by that, I mean he takes the most shots. It always, the offense seems to go through him because of that. They isolate him, kind of like Harden does with the Houston Rockets, who are probably going to be disbanded after this year because they suck so bad at the end of the playoffs. But kind of like they do with Harden, is they just let Durant go one-on-one. If he gets trapped, they might kick it out, but there's not a lot of movement. There's not that quick passing, swinging around, and then kick it to the opposite side for a wide-open three from Steph Curry. And that's the kind of offense I think they want to run. I think you're hamstringed a little bit. Hamstring, considering his hamstring's hurt. But hamstring a little bit there with Durant in the offense. He's one of the best players. I'm not saying that he's not. I just think it's one of those where that's addition by subtraction. Golden State plays better as a whole on defense and everything when Durant is not on the floor. I think they were 28-1, now probably 30-some-1 when Durant doesn't start. So that just shows you how good he is. And when Steph Curry doesn't start, they're about a 500 team. So Steph Curry is the key to that. Of course, you have Klay Thompson, who can also hit down the threes. He's struggled this playoffs. But when you've got those kind of players around you, you don't need Durant as much as I think they do. I think Durant's going to bolt after this year anyways and go to New York or somewhere else to get the big money and try to be the star again, like he already isn't. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But I think when they swept Portland without him, that just showed that how much better of an overall team they are. team-wise when Durant's not on the court. They're a great team with him on there. You can't get that. You can't be wrong with that. But I just think they play a lot better when he's not there. Just my fat opinion. Other NBA news, Zion Williamson will sign with CAA Sports. CAA represents several top NBA players, including Brooklyn Nets All-Star D'Angelo Russell, Denver Nuggets guard Gary Harris, Memphis guard Jalen Jackson, or he's a forward actually, and Cleveland Cavaliers Colin Sexton. I haven't heard of many of those names either, but I guess those are big-time names in the NBA because I don't follow it close enough. The new guy has a law degree that he signed with out of Washington Lee University and played for Tabah University, the owner and head CEO of CAA. None of those names, like I said, really jump out at me, but it's really important to get that shoe deal. That's the most important. Can CAA get him that huge shoe deal that he wants and everyone is going for? Because you're not going to make your money playing in the pros. The old joke was you make it playing in college, but now you make it with the shoe deal. Williamson is expected to command one of the largest rookie shoe deals in NBA history. So what does exactly a big shoe deal really mean? Well, here are the top five. We'll start with five. I don't have a drum roll or anything. But Michael Jordan has the fifth highest shoe deal as a rookie. Now, this isn't all time, but just as a rookie coming in. And see how these numbers jump up real quick. In 1984, he signed a $2.5 million over five-year deal with Nike. Now pays him about $600 million or $60 million a year, something like that, from Nike. So he's not doing bad, but he signed for $2.5 million over 5 years. That was the highest shoe contract ever, probably one of the first ever, coming into the pros. As a rookie, Kobe Bryant's deal with Adidas, this was in 1996, $48 million over 6 years. So in just 12 years, it went from 2.5 and 5 to 48 million and 6. Number three is Allen Iverson at $50 million over 6 years with Reebok. That was in 96 as well. 2007, number two is Kevin Durant in 2007, $60 million deal with Nike at $60 million was over 7 years. And number one, of course, is LeBron James, signed a $93 million deal with Nike in 2003 when he was a rookie, coming out of high school, mind you. $93 million was over 7 years. So that is a lot of money. And if Williamson is going to be one of those top people, to see him signing to close to $100 million or right around there, probably between $70 and $80 million with one of these shoe companies for the next 6 years, that's where all of his money comes from. That's the guaranteed money that he will get. NBA, you get hurt and you're done. I don't think any of those salaries are always giving you, I can't even think, I drew a mind blank there, but they're not guaranteed. That's the word I'm looking for. They're not guaranteed contracts, but these shoe deals are. And that's a huge amount of money for a going to be a sophomore kid in college coming into the NBA. So there's all your money, folks, is in Nike and all that. And if you can tell me, well, brands don't really matter, if you're willing to pay $100 million for a kid to wear a shoe with your brand on it, then obviously you're making it elsewhere as well. So good luck to Nico Harrison, Nike exec that is in charge of those kind of things. Hopefully they can sign Nike and we'll get Nico on the show, hopefully after they do, to talk about how that whole process went and what it was all about. So good luck to Zion. You're not going to need it before you suit up for your first one with that kind of money. Moving on to NHL news. It was a win more than half a century in the making for the St. Louis Blues. They defeated the Boston Bruins 3-2 in overtime to take Game 2. This is the franchise's first victory in a Stanley Cup final ever. And St. Louis Blues has been around for quite a while. The series is now tied at 1-1. Game 3 will be Saturday night with the puck drop at 6 o'clock Mountain Time. Hockey is one of the best sports out there to watch live. I went to a Blackhawks game earlier this year, and they are so much fun. The energy, the speed of the game, the crowd really gets into it. It's a lot of fun. And probably behind NCAA March Madness, Stanley Cup ranks right up there with sports that you should watch. So even if you haven't, I suggest you take a look at the Stanley Cup. It's a lot of fun. There's fights. Not a lot of them anymore, but there's a lot of fast movement. Try to think of anybody, your favorite football player, putting on death blades onto their feet and hurling a puck at 200 miles an hour at people's faces. And tell me these guys aren't one of the most athletic athletes, I guess, out there that plays major sports. So once again, that game three is Saturday. Puck drops at 6 o'clock. Series tied at 1-1 between St. Louis and Boston. In PGA news, this week is the Memorial Tournament in Dublin, Ohio. Lots of great names in the field this week, but I'm sure Tiger will get all the press because he is there as well. So he'll be the story. Currently, the leader right now at -7 is Ryan Moore as I talk. He is at 7 under. Right behind him is Jordan Spieth at 6 under. I'm not even going to try to say the third guy's name. And then Mark Leishman at 5 under is tied for third, as well as Martin Kaymer. Tiger Woods right now tied for 17th at -2. He is done for the day. So 5 shots back from the lead after day one. So we'll see how he does. But he is still in 17th place. I think they take the top 60, so you're looking at 60 in ties. So you're looking right around, if it ended right now, at +1 as your cut line, roughly. So he'll probably make the cut, it looks like, if he doesn't have an abysmal day yet tomorrow. But he is still quite a ways out, so good luck to all the golfers over there. Nick Taylor, again, not playing in this tournament. He was a alternate, played in the Pro-Am, but is not playing this weekend. Moving on to NFL news, Richie Incognito is back in the news. He just signed with the Oakland Raiders. He also pled guilty in April to a misdemeanor after an incident involving a 19-year-old grandmother of his took place in August in Peoria, Arizona. According to court documents obtained by ESPN, Incognito, it's very hard to say a couple times in a row, agreed to plead guilty to charges of criminal endangerment and disorderly conduct, both class one misdemeanors. But of course, the Raiders signed him. He signed a 1-year deal on Tuesday with the Oakland Raiders. Raiders seem like the very best possible team to be in Hard Knocks to cover them this coming up year, as they have now signed 3 players that either have off or on the field issues. Antonio Brown blew up the entire Pittsburgh Steelers organization and then bolted for Oakland, basically threw everybody under the bus. Vontaze Burfict also signed. He always had on-field issues, dirty play, dirty hits. They voted him one of the dirtiest players in the NFL when he was with the Cincinnati Bengals. He is now with the Raiders, and also now adding Richie Incognito to the mix. HBO Hard Knocks, by the way, only follows teams that did not make the playoffs the year before. So the Raiders are in there. Browns cannot be because they didn't make the playoffs, but they were in it last year. The one team they should just camp out at, seriously, and I hate to say this because it's my favorite team, but they should just make every year the Hard Knocks Boston or Detroit Lions. Just do the show there. It wouldn't cost them a lot of money because I'm sure rent is cheap with GM all closing and everything going to heck over there in Detroit with the Motor Cities. They also have a fan base that probably is the hardest knock fan base that there is. Now that Cleveland has some hope, it pretty much leaves the Lions and maybe, Tampa Bay as the teams that just have no chance every year. We think we do. We come into the season, think we're going to have a great year, but then it all fails. So maybe Hard Knocks should just switch to covering Lions fans and their day-to-day lives and how much they have to spend on tickets to go watch their team start the season at 4-0 and then lose their next 8. So good luck to the Oakland Raiders. Again, they move, I believe it's not next year, it's the year after. It might be next year. Move to Las Vegas. So they've already got a show there. Las Vegas, I feel bad for Oakland, though, as Las Vegas gets the Raiders, and next year Golden State will be heading to San Francisco, leaving Oakland as well. We'll take a quick break. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, KGVM.org on the interwebs, 95.9 on the FM dial. When we come back, we'll take a look at Bobcat Sports, high school sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
I'm at a party I don't want to be at. And I don't ever wear a suit and tie, yeah. Wondering if I can sneak out the back. Nobody's even looking me in my eyes. Can you take my hand, finish my drink, say, shall we dance? Hell yeah. You know I love you, did I ever tell you? You make it better like that. Don't think I fit in at this party. Everyone's got so much to say. Yeah, I always feel like I'm nobody. Mm-hmm. Who wants to fit in anyway? 'Cause I don't care when I'm with my baby, yeah. All the bad things disappear. Are you making me feel that maybe I am somebody?
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on the interwebs, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Also reach me at the Twitters, at IanLaird3 on Twitter. Once again, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill with countless TVs and specials. Catch all the big games in the NBA, NHL, and U.S. Open coming up here in a couple weeks. Located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Phone number, as always, is 587-2156. That's Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgate continues. Let's jump right into high school action from around the valley. Again, this will pretty much wrap up everything but Legion baseball for the rest of the summer. So, good luck listening to me then. In Bozeman, after finishing third as a team 2 years ago and second last year, the Hawk girls won a Class AA title for the first time since 2007. Do it, everything, amazing athlete, probably athlete of the valley right now. Delaney Bond won the 100 in 12.38 seconds. Won the 200 at 24.72 seconds. That was a personal best. And on Saturday, added the long jump championship. Maya Host placed second in the 300 hurdles with a 45.69 seconds, and Trom took silver in the 800 with 2 minutes and 15 seconds, both personal records. The boys, on the other hand, took fourth with 84 points. Braun completed her decorated high school career with 4 individual state titles, including her long jump title from last year. Again, her long jump champion, or the long jump winner this year, Bond, her long jump would have been, I think, the top 15 at the regional NCAA tournament. So that's how good this girl is. And she doesn't even know if she's going to play track and field in college. She might just go and start her life. So good for her for having all that figured out already. Again, it was her last track meet of her career. Bond described it as bittersweet, knowing she'll never compete for the Hawks again. The meet was also an emotional for Coach Fisher, who will become a principal and athletic director for grades 5 through 8 in Manhattan. So he is also leaving the Hawks, no longer a coach for Bozeman. In Bozeman Daily Chronicle's article, written by Paul Schwedelson, hopefully I said that right, Paul. I know we text back and forth, so hopefully I said your name right. Fisher did say to Paul, it's a good storybook ending to his career. He hopes he left the program better than he found it. He definitely did. What a great guy. I know my brother and his kids know him because he teaches over at Hawthorne as well, or does some track stuff over there. They love him. Everybody in the community loves him. So we're really going to miss him. But Manhattan, you're getting a really, really good one there. So congratulations to you, and hold on to him if you can, because he is a great guy. We've reached out to Fisher to see if he'll come on the show. Looks like we can set that up hopefully in the next couple of weeks. Hawk boys were led Saturday by Zachary Eccles, 152 feet, 11 inch. He placed second in the discus. Craig Cooper finished third in the 200 with a 21.9 second score. And Ben Bishop earned second place in the javelin with 174 feet, 11 inch. All personal records there. The boys' 1600 meter relay team of Hudson Willett, Carter Ash, May, and Taylor Rude took fifth at 3 minutes, 28.65 seconds. Just so you know, for the boys' team, the team entered the meet ranked ninth. And Fish said they were projected to score about 17 points. Once again, this comes from the Bozeman Daily Chronicle article written by Paul. They actually surpassed that by 67 points, so they were only expected to score 17 points, and they came away with 60 or 67 more than that. So congratulations to the Hawk runners there, and that pretty much wraps up all of the high school sports, track and field and all that kind of stuff from around the valley. We'll move on to Bozeman Bucks baseball. Bucks took 3 of 4 games this last week. They beat Coeur d'Alene 11-2. They lost to Missoula 8-7 in a close one. Beat Great Falls 8-6 and beat Butte, throttled Butte 15-0. Tonight, we will actually be broadcasting our second Bucks baseball game here on KGVM. Tonight, the Bucks take on the Helena Senators at Legion Field here in Bozeman at Heroes Park. Mark Miller will be calling the game. Pre-game starts at 6:30 p.m. and the game starts at 7, so first pitch at 7 o'clock. We will be preempting the last half of the 6 o'clock Democracy Now! Broadcast, and Community Action League will start at 9:30 tonight instead of when it normally does. You can catch the entire Democracy Now! Show on our website. Once again, that's kvgvm.org. You can also stream the game and other programming there as well. Just click the Listen Live button, and you can listen to all of this. Or tune in to 95.9 FM in the Gallatin Valley for some evening baseball. So we're really excited to have the Bozeman Bucks on KGVM. We're a local nonprofit station. That is a local Legion team. So there's no better marriage than that right there. So good luck to the Bozeman Bucks, and let's play ball. Big news for all high school football players from around Montana just broke earlier this week. The Pitt Training Facility, located here in Bozeman, and its staff, along with a handful of current and former NFL players, will host the inaugural Verified Combine on Saturday, June 29th. That will be on campus at Montana State, putting high school football players through drills similar to those that they're going to see at the NFL Combine. A lot of those that you see on pro days from college and all that. With the goal of giving college coaches an idea of how an athlete's physical abilities could transition to the football field. Aside from giving college coaches accurate numbers in a variety of different physical skills, you do the 40 and all those, Pitt owner and former NFL linebacker, and of course, Bozeman legend in these days, Dane Fletcher, says his Verified Combine will give the athletes a chance to measure their times, reps, and other skills against those of friends from around the state and the region. This is a huge thing, by the way, for high school football in Montana. There are some goods and there are some bads, and we'll go over both right now. The goods, of course, way outnumber the bads. It's great for these smaller town kids. A lot of video of AA kids is out there, maybe even A kids. But you get some of these great B and C athletes. Mariani, that played for the Grizz years ago, ended up playing in the NFL for years. I believe he's now back in Montana as well, but played for the Titans as a returner, made a Pro Bowl. He was a kid from Haver, from a Class A school. Nobody really knew what he could do. They knew him more for tennis than they did anything else. He didn't really have a chance to have these numbers and show what he could do. So it's great for those kind of kids to be able to go up and say, really, you think AA, you're that great? Look at all these great Class C kids that have the same speed, maybe even better speed, better agility. Some of those things that might be overlooked and they might not get a chance from anyone other than us, you know, football nuts that go in and follow as much of this as they can. It also is great because it gives them a chance for other schools outside of just Montana to take a look. Star rating is huge, and there's a lot of players, I think, from Montana that would have probably a 3-star rating in a lot of these things if they had these measurable numbers that they could throw out there. They don't, and so a lot of these bigger schools, whether it be Washington State, UW, Wyoming, it's not that great of a school. I'd pick MSU over them, but Utah State, some of the Valley ones, Boise State, a lot of those could take a look at these kids and be like, hey, that kid's quick. And if they don't go to their camps, they're never going to see him. And if they don't have those star ratings, they're not going to get that. With these also in those star ratings, and again, very overrated are star ratings, but you'll notice a kid might be getting looked at by Oregon State, Oregon, or one of those from Montana, Washington even, when you look at the Disley, Will Disley. Their star rating is like at a 3 or 4. Then Will Disley signed with UW, but if they sign with MSU, then their star rating goes to a 1. And it just drops because of the school that they pick, because it's a smaller school. So star ratings are garbage somewhat for us that when you're looking at kids, but they are a big deal to these kids. So if this gives them another chance to show how good they are, I think it's tremendous for the students. Now, the only bad thing I can see with this is for MSU and U of M. You're going to get some of those diamonds in the rough that maybe people didn't know about, but you knew about. If they come to these combines and they prove themselves, great for that kid, but you might lose out on some of those to out-of-state recruits. It's not going to kill Montana or Montana State or U of M, but that is one downside for those two schools, is that, hey, we used to have Everyone wanted to come here. Now, if those numbers are out there, they might realize, wow, there's some great players here in Montana, and they need to go to a bigger school. Now, once Montana and Montana State moves up, none of that will really matter anyways. So we'll have to see there. But congratulations to Dane Fletcher. I did talk to him yesterday, and we're setting up a time for him to come on here in the next couple weeks as well to talk about the combine, talk about everything he's gone through. The main question I want to ask him is, did he go to Gronk's retirement party, and how long was that hangover afterwards? Because Gronk can party. We all know that. And they used to be roommates. So we'll hopefully have Dane on here shortly, so we look forward to that. But congratulations to the Pit, and really good job there setting up something like this for all of the athletes out there in Montana. Moving on to Belgrade, after a perfect season to end their Class A career, team had some standouts named to the All-State softball team. Three players made All-State: Olivia Cook, Aaron Elgis, and Maddie Tomasetti. I couldn't read it through my little screen here. All made first-team All-State. All-Conference, they had one player that made first-team All-Conference, not including those other ones, with Kenna Thomas. Second-team All-Conference, they had Hazel Eaton, Cammy Gorell, Maddie Krieger, and honorable mention was Hallie Curry. So pretty much almost the whole team from Belgrade. Also, their head coach, Andrea Folkman, was named Coach of the Year. So congratulations to Belgrade on all their success there. This is their last year at A. They'll move up to AA, but at least in softball, they played a lot of AA schools this year, and they trounced them. So I don't think softball is a big worry for them moving up to AA. Football and some of the other sports might be, and that'll be really interesting to see how that plays next year when they have to play the Hawks, and how it plays out, and who is the dominant AA team in 2 years when Belgrade, Bozeman, and of course Gallatin High open up in 2020. So next year might be a tough year for them with the Bozeman Hawks still stacked, but the year after that should be an interesting to see how the smaller schools, and they're all about the same size then, how they can compete. We'll take another quick break right now. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on your interwebs, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. We'll come back and take a look at Bobcat Athletics. Not a lot going on there either, but we'll somehow babble our way through it. Once again, this is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be fat and bald, but he knows it's sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on the interwebs, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Click a couple buttons here to make sure I'm doing this right. Once again, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all the big games. They are located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. Let's take a look at MSU going-ons from the past week. There were none because school's been out for almost a month now, but the MSU football team did sign a big drop down from University of Washington to add to their defensive line 6'6", 310-pound Jason Skrempos, a defensive lineman from University of Washington, has joined the Bobcat football program as a graduate transfer. Originally from California, Skrempos redshirted at UW in 2015 and played for the Huskies defensive line. From 16 through 18, Skrempos played in 8 games, getting a tackle against BYU in 18. He was a max prep. Now, this is a big, California's a big, remember, so there's going to be a lot of words here. He was a Max Preps All North California section, or selection, as a senior at his high school in 2014. He was Santa Clara Valley Athletic League De Sanza Division. Whew, Defensive Lineman of the Year in 2014, leading his team in sacks and finishing with 55 tackles. He notched a dozen sacks with 99 total tackles as a junior. Scrimpos also earned honorable mention All-League honors in basketball and threw shot put and discus in track and field. So welcome to the team. That's a big kid and a definitely a position. We'll talk about it here in a couple weeks when we break down each position group. When we get to defensive line, that is definitely a position that we need. Somebody inside. We lost the kid from Texas who transferred back home because he missed home. We had a couple other kids graduate with Yates and some of the other ones. So that's definitely a place that we needed some help, some drop down help. And when you get a kid that's 6'6", 310, that's great. I'm sure Io knows him very well. And so that should fit in well. So we'll see how he does coming in with the Cats. So congratulations and good luck. Welcome to the Bobcats. Another Bobcat sports news, Montana State's football summer tradition. The Bobcat Summer Classic softball game returns to Bozeman's Heroes Park just in a couple weeks here on June 14th. The Charity Softball Classic pits Bozeman football players comprising the Big Hits and Sticks team against Bozeman area fire responders with the Lights and Sirens team. That game is set for 6 o'clock. Once again, that's June 14th at Bozeman's American Legion Field, located in the Gallatin Valley Fairgrounds. Concessions and beer gardens will be available. Admission is $5, and the event features a Bobcat jersey and helmet raffle. So make sure you go support the local fire department as the Big Hits and Sticks and the Lights and Sirens teams go up against each other. As Montana State continues to appeal for funding to refurbish its athletics infrastructure, the Bobcat Quarterback Club's latest contribution has pulled MSU closer to its goals. In a letter obtained by 406MTSports.com, Athletic Director Leon Costello thanked the Bobcat Quarterback Club last week for a $1 million donation in gifts and commitments. Which Costello said raised Montana's fundraising total for phase one of its master plan to $12 million threshold. Phase one of the overall ambitious 20-year blueprint announced in 2017 calls for construction of a 37,000 square foot football operations facility at the north end of the Bobcat Stadium. They will also redo that part of the stadium and the seats and everything else, as well as renovating the current football offices at the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse into a 3,400 square foot all-inclusive student-athlete academic center, something that is desperately needed. We actually talked to Costello. I emailed him back and forth, and he is going to come on the show. He is out of town for the next couple weeks, but he is going to come on the show here in a couple weeks. I should probably see him. I think I'm going to see him at the Bobcat golf tournament for Learfield Sports puts on this Monday, so I'll ask him then as well. But he did get back to me and said he'd love to come on the show, so we'll have him on here in a couple weeks to also talk about everything that's going on with raising money, where we're at with that, when are we going to break ground, where are we going to see shovels in the dirt to getting some of this stuff done. When are we going to paint the bleachers? All those kind of questions. It won't be an easy interview. I'll make sure I ask him the tough questions like what's your favorite color and how come the sky's blue. But anyways, we'll take another quick break right now and come back to take a look. We've been doing it all. We started it last week with the running backs. This week, we'll take a look to end our show at the receiving corps for the Bobcats. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org, or 95.95 FM on your radio dial. Once again, this is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
very few songs can raise your spirits and get you going like that one would. The Bobcat theme fight song from, of course, the Spirit of the West Marching Band. Once again, welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. My name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, KGVM.org, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Once again, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. Countless TVs and specials. Catch all the big games in the NBA and the Stanley Cup this weekend, located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. While sports are pretty much done for the season, we will take a look every week at a specific group of the MSU Bobcat football team. Each week, last week, we covered the running backs, like I said before the break. So this week, we'll shift just a little bit to the outside and take a look at the wide receivers. And you might not know it, the Cats have a ton of talent coming back at the wide receiver spot. It may be deceiving to many, since the Cats haven't been a real passing team with a really good passing quarterback in the last couple of years, but they have some very good talent out there. They lost some as well because I think they just looked at it and said, I don't know if the team's going to pass or they're going to turn into a triple option team. But the wide receivers that we have right now and are coming back for next year, and some of them that haven't played yet, younger guys, are very, very good. Let's take a look at the returners from last year first. First, we have 6'2 senior Oregon transfer Travis Johnson, who averaged 11 yards a catch last year. He was a huge catalyst in the comeback to the in the Cat Grizz game that the Cats won with a big catch on the sideline and then tiptoeing down for another 5 or 6 yards and a huge catch down to about the 10-9 yard line to set up the go-ahead touchdown. So he is an athlete. He can play quarterback. He played quarterback in high school and was actually recruited as one of the top triple threat quarterbacks in the country when he went to Oregon. Didn't fit in there very well, went to a JC school, now has been with the Cats the last 2 years. I think he is definitely a playmaker and somebody to watch. Again, he's a senior and 6'2". He has the length, and he's probably one of the fastest kids, if not the fastest kid, on the team. Anderson probably has something to say about that. On the inside, we have 5'10 sophomore Willie Patterson. He averaged 10 yards a catch last year. 6 foot senior Kevin Cassis is, of course, the mainstay team captain. Say all you want about Cassis. He's a great guy. We talked to him earlier this year. He thought it was weird that that everyone has a man crush on him, but he's a hell of a player. Had 663 yards and 3 touchdowns last year. That could really go up if we can get a quarterback that can throw him the ball. And the final one that played a lot last year, Lance McCutcheon, 6'2". Junior, averages 13 yards a catch, did not have a touchdown last year, had a couple the year before. So those are going to be your main guys that you see the most out there. Expect these next guys to contribute. 6'4", Jabari Johnson, who was a starter 2 years ago, would have been a starter last year, his senior year, blew out his knee in spring camp. They still don't know if he'll be back or not. We'll find out here at the beginning of June, so hopefully next week we'll find out. If he'll be back on the team, if he's on the team, that is a huge upgrade, not upgrade, but a huge catalyst to that wide receiver team. 6'4", can jump, can pinpoint the ball great. He was a star the 1 year he played before he got injured. You never know how somebody, especially a wide receiver, when you have to cut a lot and everything else, will come back from a knee injury like that. But if he can come back and contribute, that'll be gigantic for the Cats. Also coming in as a young kid, he redshirted last year, 6'1". 6'1", excuse me, redshirt freshman from Bozeman High, Logan Kleinhans. Everyone I talk to says he's a great kid. He's kind of a DeAgostino type of kid. A great kid, can catch the ball, great vision, great route running. I don't know if he's going to burn anybody downfield, but he's going to have great routes. He's always going to catch the ball if it's thrown to him. So he's somebody that should get a lot of playing time. And the last one is Coy Steele. There's some other transfers coming in, but the main one's Coy Steele, 5'9 sophomore, backed up Patterson last year. Has some great moves, had a little bit like Patterson did, dropped it a little bit too much last year on the inside, but didn't have a quarterback that was getting it right to him. So those are kind of the returners we have for the receivers. My thoughts on the wide receivers coming into this year are kind of twofold, I guess you would say. I think we have the ability to stretch the field on the outside. That'll bring the linebackers back a little bit, trying to cover that. If you can get some of those short inside routes, I think you're going to be really set. And that comes down to Patterson and Coy being able, and Cassis really being able to cut inside and get the ball quickly on time to them. Let those linebackers move up a little bit. And then you've got your McCutcheons, Johnsons, the Johnson brothers, I guess, Johnson and Johnson. That's a good nickname I just came up with right there. Travis Johnson and Jabari Johnson, if he comes back, to be able to burn him deep. You also could throw Troy Anderson out there to burn him deep. Tucker can go out there instead of from his running back spot. He could play a little slot. So in the slot receivers, the quick guys that go over the middle, the little bubble screens that they step back for, kind of your Louis McGee if you ever watch the Grizzlies, which hopefully you don't. But he's very fast. Sulcer's kind of that way for them over there as well. Those kind of players, if you can get them in the middle and get them open, get them to catch the ball, bring those linebackers up a little bit if they don't feel like they have to play back. Now, if you can burn them deep, and that's with your Johnson and Johnson and your Cassis, some of those other ones that can burn them deep, get those linebackers to move back a little bit, then those inside routes will be open even more. Right now, linebackers just had to focus on the run, and that was it. They didn't have to worry about anything else. And so that always affected the Cats when it was coming to that. The second point I want to make is if you can get Johnson and McCutcheon the ball accurately deep, that will really stretch the defense and create some real problems on the defense. Again, accuracy is the key. There's a lot of weapons on this offense if you can find a quarterback that can get the receivers the ball. If you can stretch them out with that deep pass with McCutcheon and Johnson going deep, that opens up Infante up the middle, Jones with the little splits out, Anderson at times from the backfield. You've got all those weapons in the backfield, plus you've got receivers that can catch it downfield and really make them play honest. That is a nightmare for any defensive coordinator out there. So that's going to be a huge key. Again, we're talking about the wide receivers, but it all seems to focus back on that one guy that touches the ball every single time. Again, over the middle routes are going to be key. I think last year they didn't try a ton of them. This year, your two main starters you're going to have a quarterback are going to be 6'5 Rovick or probably 6'6 Bowman. Those are going to be your two options. You might have the 6-foot kid coming in, Beltran. It looks like he's going to be the third option. He's more of a runner. He has some decent passing skills, but I don't know about deep. His fall will be huge for him to see how he progresses in summer and fall. But we'll get to the quarterbacks later. For wide receivers, though, with those inside routes, with those taller quarterbacks being able to find you, you've got to be able to make quick, crisp route running. Catch the ball when it's there. Make those defenders honest. And that'll be a huge key to see if they can do some of that. But again, it all comes down to the Cats find a quarterback that can get these talented kids the ball. McCutcheon has been here. This will be his third year. He's shown the ability to go out there and make game-changing plays. Johnson showed that all last year when he played some quarterback. They platooned him in at wide receiver quite a bit. He can make plays, but you've got to get him the ball. And if they can, I think the Cats could be one of the best teams. And I think at the end of next year, if we can find a quarterback they can throw, they're going to be one of the best offensive passing teams in the Big Sky. Sure, you've got UC Davis and Eastern Washington. But if the Cats' all-round offense can come together, that's just going to open up the passing game even more. So I look to very good things from this wide receiving group. They've just got to be able to get the ball to them if you're the quarterback. The offensive line we'll talk about in a little bit. That's looking very stout. Running backs we talked about last week are great. So wide receivers are, I think, a huge positive for the Cats. You just got to get them the dang ball. So once again, that'll wrap it up for this week. Thank you, Vetch, for watching us once again. Listen tonight to Bozeman Bucks baseball game here on KGVM. Good luck to the Lions. And as always, go Cats. That has been the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.